Okay, we're on page 17 of our study guide, looking at long-suffering at Roman numeral 3, where it talks about the importance of long-suffering. And we were talking about faith being a working partner of faith, and how patience is often lost in the shadows of faith. And then we looked at Hebrews 6, and how I want us to go back into Hebrews 6 and finish reading this. Starting with verse 15, it says, "So that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." For, am I at the right place? Okay. Find out where I am so I can get at the right place. "For men indeed swear by the greater, an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie," for God to, verse 18, scroll me up, please. Okay. "For God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunners entered for us, even Jesus, having become priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the part we were looking at with Abraham in the fourth chapter of Romans, where he's talking about not weak in faith. Now let me go back to that one, verse 17, Romans 4. "Even God that quickens the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Now let me just stop there a minute. And when you look at this and you take it into context, it's not that Abraham was naive. It's not that Abraham didn't know how old he was. It's not that he didn't know Sarah was barren and that she was old. But he wouldn't consider that. He would not consider the circumstances. Now that is a real key phrase in receiving from God, is you can't consider the circumstances. Okay? Now, here's why he didn't consider the circumstances. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What was the promise of God? You're going to have a son, old man. And that son is going to come through an old woman who is barren. Now, that'll have to be God. You understand? But that was God's word, and he would not let that word go. And here's why he wouldn't. He says, "being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Abraham had such a relationship with God and his experience with God that he knew God couldn't lie. And if God gave that word to him, that word had to come to pass, regardless of how old he was or how old Sarah was and how long it had been since God had made him that promise, he held on to it. Changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. Wow. What do you think people were saying? "What in the world is wrong with this old man? Senile. I mean, calling himself the father of multitudes." And, I mean, that's more profound. Honestly, it's more profound than I think anyone realized. We just take it at face value. But to think of the magnitude of that promise, and to think of a man who had a word from God that he would not relinquish. It has to come to pass. God said it. It has to come to pass. I don't believe what I see. What's faith? Not believing what you see. You won't find that in the Greek concordance, but that's what it is. It's believing something that you can't see with your natural eyes. But Hebrews, the 11th chapter, says faith is substance and faith is evidence. It's your faith that gives substance to what your hope is for. And if anything comes against you, any circumstance comes against you, you say, here's the evidence, the Word of God. So the Word of God is always the evidence to faith. The Word of God is always the substance to faith. Hope has no substance. Hope sets a goal. But it takes substance to get you to the goal. And then from the time you get the Word until the time you reach the goal is a waiting period. And so what's required in that waiting period? Being constant, being convinced, so being long-suffering, being patient, because God's timing is always right. Why did Jesus come to earth when Jesus came to earth? In the fullness of time. God determined that. God knew when He should be here. Why were you born when you were? In the fullness of time. What did Mordecai say to Esther? When she wasn't real sure about what she was doing, you know. She came in the fullness of time. My paraphrase, you're here in the fullness of time. God has put you here. You just didn't get to be queen because you're beautiful. Because there's a lot of other beautiful women out there. The reason you're a queen is because God has a purpose for your life. And you better think about that. Don't think about risking your life. Think about your purpose. Think about doing what God's called you to do. And where the fear would try to say, if I go in that court, I may be killed. I mean, He's already got rid of one. He could get rid of me. But she had something in her heart more profound than fear. And I believe God put purpose in her heart. And her whole objective of being queen was to save her people. Isn't that incredible? And she didn't do it from a podium. Amazing when you think about it. What God wants us to do is catch on to three things. Don't consider. Don't stagger. Be fully persuaded. And let your patience carry you through the times that you know you're wanting to stagger, the flesh is wanting to stagger, or the flesh is wanting to consider. What do you think if you know, here you are, you're Abraham, and you're 99 years old, and your wife's 89 years old, and you say, we're going to have a baby next year. Sarah, who hasn't been able to have a baby all these years, she's going to have a baby next year. You're out of your mind. 89-year-old women don't have babies, and especially 89-year-old barren women. They wouldn't let it go. Has God given you a promise bigger than that? I believe that God gives people through their life. I believe God drops things on the inside of a word. And if they'll hold on to that word, don't let people talk you out of what God has put in your heart. You can't do that. How many people have said, you can't do that? Are you crazy? You're just a dreamer. Well, so was Joseph. But did his dream come true? Then don't let someone talk you out of the dream or the vision that God has put on the inside of you. You believe it'll come to pass, and you stay in that long suffering or in that patience, and watch God's Word come into fruition. Because God can't lie. God's not a man that He can lie, the Son of Man that He has to repent. God can't say, whoop, I better take that back. I can't make that happen. No, that's not God. So how do we get these things that God's promised? Through faith and patience. That's how we inherit these things, through faith and patience. So what are we to do according to James? Let patience have its perfect work. What's going to happen is going to bring us into a completion, into a maturity. That fruit will be produced, you understand. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 35 and 36, where he talks about we need patience after we've done the will of God. Note the word after. You need patience after. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What's confidence? That's your faith in God, isn't it? For you have need of this. What is this? This is a different translation. You have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The King James Version says uses the word patience. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. Now look at this. But if any man draws back from faith, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back into perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So, don't cast away your confidence in God. Don't cast away your confidence in the Word. You know, I've had people say, the Lord spoke to me. And then later on, they say, well, I don't know if He did or not. Well, the temptation to doubt, to get you to move away from what God said. Be strong in what you believe. If you have one word, be strong in that word. You understand? Don't move off of that word. This is really a way of life. I mean, God never ceases to amaze me at the way He does things. These study guides and all this stuff, God would give me sometimes just a word or a sentence that really provokes me. I know it's God. And it'll provoke me to start looking to Him. You've given me this for a reason. And I've said to Him, there's more to this than what I'm getting. You just didn't want me to know this. You're priming the pump. Okay? There's more to this that you're wanting to bring out, and I'm listening. And a scripture will come, and you look at that scripture. Another scripture will come, and you look at that scripture. And one thing leads to another, and one day you have this study. I mean, it's out of wanting to hear God and learn from God. It's not. You just sit down, well, I think I'll just write a study on such and such. it's not that way. And you know, we're on something right now that I've been working on for literally writing now for over 2 weeks. And, you know, thought I've had it pretty well roughed in. I was praying this morning, Lord, just drop some more things in. I've been writing on it again today. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It doesn't matter. That's not the issue. I'm learning. And anything God's revealing me, He's wanting me to put it into practice. And then if I put it into practice and it works for me, then I can teach you. You understand where I'm coming from? God has given us revelation for experience. God gives you a word. Don't let go of that word. You don't know what's going to come out of that word. You understand? I mean, you don't know whose life is going to impact. The greatest preachers in the world probably were impacted by somebody that nobody knows who they are. Who won Billy Graham to the Lord? Does somebody know? Okay. But see, one person in here knew. Okay, I could have answered that. Because she's just not a common household name, is she? But look at the impact she had on one person's life, and then look at the impact that person had on nations. Interesting, isn't it? You don't know the impact your life will have on other people. I don't even know what we're doing here. I know when the Lord spoke to me, He spoke to me about the church in 1995. I actually spoke to me about Spirit Training Center in 1981. And I mean, I'm fine and happy working a job, and I'm doing all right. But I knew when He spoke that word to me that somewhere in my life there was going to be some type of training center. I mean, my steel-trapped mind caught that, Spirit Training Center. Okay? But in India, in 1995, in a hotel room, and here again, I didn't have no vision, I didn't have no dream, and no angel showed up in the room that I could see. But the presence of God filled the room, is all I can say. And the Lord just started talking to my heart, not in an audible voice. And He started out with a rebuke that I'd taken the name that He had given me for the church, that I'd taken the name too frivolously, as we said it. And He gave me an acrostic of that name. And then He used each letter and gave me an explanation of that letter. And then in my mind's eye, I could see an inverted pyramid. I wrote all this stuff down. And He told me that the point was to be the base. And what people called the base was to be the vision. And He said, never make the base larger than the vision, and don't enlarge the base until the base can't reach the vision. But what's the mindset of churches today? Build it and they'll come. Get the base bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and get the vision smaller and smaller and smaller. And so what happens? The base becomes the vision. So all the energies and all the monies are spent on the base while the harvest is out here. You understand the harvest is outside in the field? It's white, waiting for laborers, and the laborers are working inside. They don't want to go outside. Something's wrong with the picture. It's a violation of the Word of God. But God put vision in me. And, you know, people can laugh at me and say, oh, this little guy here, you know, this. I don't care. I'm not out to make a name. I already have a name that I'm following. And you're not going to get bigger than that name. Jesus. You understand? But, you know, Pat and I were talking a while ago. I know God sent Jane in order for this college to start. And she played a major, major role in the founding of the college. Today's her birthday. And I really thank God for her input into all this. But the last time that, and somebody will have to correct me on this if anyone knows, but Annette and Jane were keeping up with this. And they started this thing, but it's been outdated for a few years. But out of this room, I believe we're reaching out to 161 nations. So don't give me that song and dance about how big the building has to be. God's smarter than that. You understand? And what we need to do is hold on to the Word of God. I've had people say, well, if you looked at this property, if you looked at that property, I say, what do I want with it? I mean, it's just more to keep up. You understand? The more toys you have, the more you have to work on and all this type of stuff, not that that's toys, but you follow what I'm saying. Stay true to the Word of God. Don't try to make a name for yourself. Don't try to be the mega church. We're the body of Christ. We're a portion. You understand? We're just the BB down the 10 lane, all right? We're just a portion. But that portion is important to God. So consequently, that portion should be important to us. Your purpose in life is important to God. Don't you let anyone talk you out of doing anything other than what God's called you to do. And you be patient until you see that thing come into fruition. God gave me the name Spirit Training Center in 1991, and it wasn't until the New Year's Eve service in 1999 that God spoke, "It's time." You thought an elephant had a long pregnancy. That's a lot of years, hadn't it? But I knew, as good as I knew who I was, the time was right. And I ran that by Dan. I said, "Are you absolutely sure you're ready?" And she was, God had spoken to her. And so it came in. To start it in 1990 wouldn't have worked. And to start it 5 years afterwards wouldn't have worked. You understand? You do things in God's time, and don't tell God when you should do whatever, but you let God tell you when to do, and just be patient with that. Let patience have its perfect work. Okay? Because if you will, you will see that promise come into fruition. You'll see it. And you could care less about who knows you and who doesn't know you. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's an inconvenience because, you know, somebody say, you preacher? I'm thinking, have I done anything wrong here? You know, you don't worry about those things. Concern yourself with fulfilling the will of God and watch the promise of God come to pass. Be strong in what God told you. So whatever God's put in your heart, and I feel like I'm talking to somebody, okay? Whatever God's put in your heart, don't you listen to nobody else. You listen to God, and you stay with God. I don't care if it sounds absolutely impossible. God specializes in that kind of stuff, you understand? The fact that I'm here tonight, even saved and in the ministry, is a testimony to the miraculous power of God. I'll tell you that right now. So don't discount any word that God puts in your heart. And don't you talk to me about age. Age is numbers. That means nothing to me. The will of God means everything to me. And I like the heart of Caleb. I'm 85, and I'm just as strong to go in and out of battle today as I've ever been. Don't put age on me. Give me the mountain where the giants are, is what he was saying. And you know what? He took it. He wasn't just blowing smoke. You understand? And so we have to get our minds off of, I'm not getting any younger. Well, who is? That's not an issue. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. Don't throw away your confidence in the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. You move in God's timing. And don't think about what other people are going to think about what you do, or this, that, and the other. You just do what God told you to do and stay single-minded. And I can tell you that for much of my life, I've had to get by myself and encourage myself in the Lord because no one else was doing it. You have a lot of times you have people trying to talk you out of doing what God told you to do. God's asked me to do some hard things that was political suicide. So I committed political suicide early. So, you know, don't look for me to be in any office, okay? But you have to choose, do I want to follow God? Or do I want the praise of people? People are fickle. They'll change. You understand? The people that will tell you you're the best thing since popcorn today will be the people a week from now that will hang you high. You don't look at people. God will never fail you. Stay true to Him. Hang on to the Word of God. So whatever God's put in your heart, don't let it go. Cast not away your confidence, because that confidence in God is going to bring the reward if you won't lose heart and faint. Don't give up. Never give up. I just wrote a thing to somebody here a few weeks ago. And that's what I told them. You know, they were going through a difficult time. I said, don't give up. Never quit. Never quit. The only way you can whip me is if I quit. What did Paul say? Knock down, not forsaken. I've got a little thing in the office that one of the students back years ago gave me. Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. They get right back up. So I have a little weevil in there to remind me, stay up. Stay up. Don't move off of the Word of God. Storms of life come. Don't move off of the Word of God. And if you won't move off of the Word of God, you'll take charge of the storm instead of the storm taking charge of you. But it's through faith and patience, the long suffering. You with me? Don't give up. Jesus is our example of long suffering. Do you think He suffered long? I mean, if you just look at His physical life, here's God coming to earth. God. The one who in the beginning was called the Word, that brought everything into existence. God spoke, that Word brought everything into existence. And then God sent Gabriel with a Word to a virgin. And they're going to become pregnant. Now, many of you know that's impossible. A virgin can't have a baby. But she did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit united with the Word of God. And that Word came forth and brought forth Jesus. But do you know, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, He's basically in obscurity, except when He was 12 years old. You get just one little account there. Now, if you go read some of these fiction books, you know, they tell you about all the miracles He did when He was a kid. That's none of that's there. You understand? So what's He doing? Patient. He's growing up. He's experiencing humanity so He could relate to you and I. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. You know what He's doing those first 30 years? Fulfilling the law by not breaking it. He's fulfilling. He's obeying it to the letter, not breaking anything in it. And then, when He's baptized by John, at 30, in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes down on Him and remains. What's the first thing that happens? Where's the first place the Holy Spirit led John, or Jesus? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. You know what that means? At the flesh's weakest point. But how did He overcome? With the Word. How do you overcome? With the Word. Don't let go of the Word. You stay with the Word. You have that Word so established in your heart that when the circumstance comes up, speak the Word of God to the circumstance. And it wasn't until after that that Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then He began a powerful ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Jesus did what He did by the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us. That's why he could tell us in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." Why? Because the same. I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send the same Holy Spirit that's in me to you. And it's the Spirit that's doing it. He just needs your body. You yield to the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit give you the instruction, and you do what He said. Stay with the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. What an example. Did He suffer? Was He rejected? Did people try to get Him to, even His own family, His brothers? If you're really who you say you are, nobody's going to keep that to Himself. Go out here and show who you are. Go on up to the festival. He said, "My time's not come. Yours has. You go on." And then He goes up secretly. You understand? You don't need to get on the bandwagon tooting your horn when God uses you. Just thank God that He counted you worthy of being used, and just praise God for what He did. And that should be reward enough just to, the satisfaction on the inside. Sometimes I just get by myself and cry that God would use me. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you think about it. It's not who you are. It's who He is and how faithful God is to His Word. He can't lie. And yet, when the least little thing comes, what do we want to do? Turn loose? Well, I thought. Someone told me this week, I said, that's your problem. Sometimes you need to quit thinking and start believing what you've already heard. And quit trying to reason things out. Well, if God called me, why am I not here? Why am I not there? You know, from the time the Lord started dealing with me about leaving secular work and going into ministry, it was process, you know. There for a period of time, that it seemed like every preacher that came through town, you know, would call me out and tell me this and tell me that. And I was in a church service one night, and the lady, I never seen her. I take that back. I'd seen her before. I didn't know who she was. I always thought she was a little goofy, but and she confirmed some things to me. But she just came up the side of me during the altar service. You know, I'm standing there minding my own business. And she leans over there, "God called you to the field?" I said, "Not that I know anything about." And that got rid of her in a hurry, you understand? Don't let somebody else play with you and try to move you ahead of God. I had some suspicions that somewhere down the line I might, but God had not called me to the field. You understand what I'm saying? But years later, God did speak to me and tell me to leave secular work. Now, prior to that, there was a point, I don't know, maybe a year before that, 9 months before I resigned, I wrote out my resignation. I knew I was going to be leaving secular work. And I just stuck it in a drawer. So I started having these thoughts, and then I was teaching 2 Bible studies a week and all that. And then you get like a racehorse wanting to get out of the gate, you know, the world's been deprived of you. You know what I mean? All this type of stuff. And one morning, I walked into work. I walked in and I unlocked my door. And before I opened the door, I had my hand on the doorknob and I looked up. And I said, "God, if you want me to stay here the rest of my life and teach Bible studies," I said, "I'm all right with that." And I had it settled right then. I'm all right with that. And I don't think it was but a week later the Lord spoke to me to leave secular work. You have to be willing to stay before you're ready to go. That's profound. I'll let you think about it, okay? Stay in the position God has you in until God tells you to move into a different position. Be willing to do that. And then when he did tell me to go, I said, "Are you sure?" Now all of a sudden, I didn't feel like the world needed me. I felt like I was too stupid to go out. I didn't know enough to go out and into the ministry. All of a sudden, realization sets in. But that's where God wanted me. Depended upon Him, not on me. That's where God wants you. Now this evening, this has taken a little different turn from the study guide. Have you noticed? But I believe we've been talking to you out of our heart, and I believe the Spirit of God has been sharing some things to you personally and dealing with you. And you know who you are. And I'm not going to single you out. That's not even the purpose of this. God's wanting to encourage you. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what He's called you to do. Relax. Enjoy the ride. You understand? Just relax in the Lord. And I didn't say, you know, get in a state of apathy or anything like that. I'm just saying, enjoy the Lord where you are. Bloom where you're planted. And when the Lord wants to put you in a different place, then rejoice in that as well. You understand? But make sure the Lord does it, not you. Back many years ago, I was in a place and I was miserable. I'm talking about a church. I was miserable in that place. I wasn't the pastor. Okay? I was traveling. Once in a blue moon. But anyway, I was just very uncomfortable in the setting, but I felt like that God would not release me. And so I felt obligated to be there and dreaded to go to church. I just dreaded to go. And actually, I took a job thinking that there was a possibility I was going to move to another state. I was wanting to run. And I was driving to church Sunday morning. And Sherry knew nothing about what was going on. You understand? And out of the blue, she just makes this statement. You know, staying is harder than leaving, and those who leave will usually leave again. Boy, that slapped me in the face. I knew God spoke to me then. And so I settled it right there. Okay. Patience. You understand? And He kept me there for a long period of time to mature me. You understand? Some adversity working some patience in me to where I didn't move ahead of God. And I almost blew it. You understand? Just looking out after the flesh. Forget the flesh and look after the Spirit. Amen? I probably ran out of time, so...